And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your co-hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my counterpart, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, Johnny Manziel did it. He succeeded. We made fun of him, and he succeeded.
Well,
he was he was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Not true.
Obviously not, but it's kind of funny the indirect correlation that can be made, because that was the most recent domino in the whole Reggie Bush Heisman situation.
Why wasn't Johnny Manziel with Reggie Bush to take the photo with getting his new Heisman?
Well, I don't think they're tight like that. I think that he announced.
No, Tim Tebow was there. Danny Werfel was there. Barry Sanders was there. There were a lot of people there.
I'm just being a troll, but
I know you are.
It is funny. You know, I just do find it interesting that the latest person to stand up about him getting his Heisman Trophy back was Manziel. None of those guys spoke out. None of those guys said anything. And he got it back. They were so worried.
All right. We will talk about Reggie Bush. I am happy that Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. I really am happy that he got it back. Can we not act like he didn't cheat? Can we call a spade too?
Per the rules at the time, yes, he cheated.
Okay. So listen, I am glad he is I will continue to say this. Mm-hmm. He is the best running back in my lifetime that I have seen. It's not remotely close in college. However, I mean, like, Joe, there's a lot of things that were going on, which, by the way, are still not legal now. Right. Like, so, for example,
you
can't buy someone's parents a house. It was valued like $1.25 million. You can't do that. OK. There are still things that were broken. What happened was they got too much peer pressure on them and they folded, which I don't mind him getting it back based on this. Look, we'll talk about this.
Yeah. OK.
Can we just not act like that? They didn't break rules because
He broke rules, but it's not the Heisman's job to hold Reggie Bush accountable for taking impermissible benefits.
That's not true.
They're not the NCAA. This isn't
the second sentence in their bylaw talks about character, talks about so many other things.
OJ kept his, like, I don't like there's.
Well, OJ, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. The man didn't do it.
I'm afraid to go down that rabbit hole. I'm so afraid to go down that rabbit hole on this show.
Yeah, let's not. Speaking of USC running backs, you know what? You know what's funny? How crazy is it that Reggie Bush would get his Heisman back before NIL and transfer portal has any guidelines on it?
Well, maybe this is a nice step in the help.
Because the Heisman's going to do it.
No, I'm not saying that the Heisman's going to, but I think that maybe this decision is foreboding of what is to come, of more acceptance.
Don't you forebode me. Okay, let me say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I would agree with you if Greg Sankey didn't come out today and said what he said, which we'll also talk about, of him pretty much just taking a massive dump on Super Leagues. He all but took a massive dump on one big Super League.
You don't think he's smarter than that? He's smarter than that.
Joe, his job goes away if there's a Super League. No, I don't think he's kidding.
That's not true. If he is the most established conference commissioner, I think that anyone who puts together a Super League would hire him to be the conference commissioner. He wants to be the last man standing. Joe, he wants to be the one who's running things.
Joe, stop. He doesn't want it. You really think that he was lying to Ross Dellinger to put it out there? Everything that he said was bullshit?
Well, this would be the first time.
When's the last time he lied about something like this?
I'm not saying that he's lying, but I'm saying that he is smart enough to understand how the chessboard works.
Well, what move is he trying to make?
I mean, he brought up private equity. I think that him bringing up and talking about private equity.
And he denied it.
I don't know if he outright denied it. I think we should I don't want to go too far in on this yet until we get to the segment. But I don't know if
you want a Super League and you are trying to fit you're trying to
No. I just don't think his statements to me mean that we're not going to end up getting one. Just because he spoke in this manner doesn't mean he is a politician. Okay. All of these commissioners and presidents and ADs are politicians. They know how to say one thing and mean another. They know how to say things behind closed door and not be public.
Okay, so going back to my original point, you think he's lying?
I think he's trying to manipulate the situation, but we don't know what the situation is, so I can't sit here and say that he's lying.
Manipulate, politician, trying to say something and not saying something. You know what all three of those things have in common? Lies.
Lying. Cool.
Okay. Like, good googly moogly, great balls of fire, Batman. I mean, like, I just read his comment here, Joe. Like, let me find the comment very quickly. Hold on.
I haven't talked about the Super League, and I'm not going to do it today. The fact people have interest in throwing ideas out, that's up to them. I spend my time on what I have to do. All this private equity, if you see the cliche, if I was buying stock, I'd buy stock in college sports. Well, apparently there are a lot of people who believe that outside of college sports, something is going right. I think both of those statements say two completely different things.
No, he said he did note that the industry does have serious issues.
I don't know, man. I think that he's trying to get at something else. This is perfectly vague enough.
Okay, we'll talk about this.
Yeah,
but I will just say this. I'm telling you, Greg Sankey took a massive dump on it. You know who's not taking a massive dump right now in the transfer portal? The Auburn Tigers. Because I got to tell you, Joe, they are loaded from this class in the spring period in the transfer portal. Getting Isaiah Rakes, getting Phillip Blitty, and now adding arguably one of the best wide receivers from Penn State to their roster.
Their whole portal class has been extremely talented. And I think that we, in this era where we talk about building through the transfer portal and we criticize and then we uplift certain teams for their approach to it, the way that Hugh Freeze is doing it is the right way. You know, he's not shoving kids out the door. We don't see a lot of massive
big name departures.
Well, neither does Colorado. They need bodies and they're just telling kids to leave.
Okay. We're not going to compare any other head coach in the country to Deion. Can I be real with you? I'm done.
You're done talking about Deion Sanders? I'm not done talking about him.
I'm done with his philosophy. I think it's bullshit. I think that if anybody else in the country were doing this, Joe, what me and you would be doing right now is calling for them to be fired. We would be going full Jimbo on them.
Yeah.
So no, I'm not giving him a pass. Screw that. I don't give two Rudy Poos that he's a Hall of Famer or that he's prime time. I'm not comparing him to Hugh Freeze. I'm sorry.
Well, that's why I think the comparison is not necessary but important, because for everyone and all of the Deion Sanders fans and Colorado football fans that have been coming out of the woodwork to say, oh, you just don't understand what he's doing. You don't understand his philosophy, because they don't know what the alternative is. The alternative correct way to do it is the way that Hugh Freeze has done it.
Well, and then what everybody else has done. I mean, you don't think a kid can play with you, and you tell them to leave.
It's dumb.
It's honestly dumb. All right, and then if we have time, we'll get to Derek Dooley saying there should be a Group of Five playoff. Let me just say this: anything Derek Dooley touches is going to turn to donkey dong. All right,
that's the funniest part about this story, is because you read it and you're like, that's interesting. This would be an interesting concept. And then you remember that the lead of it
would have said it besides Derek Dooley, it would have probably been pretty plausible.
Yeah, that's how you know the whole concept is doomed, because Derek Dooley is the one leading it.
Yeah, idiot. All right, dude, Derek Dooley used to wear orange pants on the sideline. A white polo with orange pants.
You just don't have that drip like that, man. He's just different.
And you know what? Level. Thank you for the compliment, because I never want that kind of. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get rolling. Everybody do us a favor by hitting the like and share to all those groups. If you're on Facebook, share to all of those social media pages. If you're watching and listening, on YouTube. Like, subscribe, notification bell, wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Joe, I got to admit, I have somebody in this household who's batting 1,000 this season in baseball. Just throwing it out there. Ben Ruffino, class of 40.
Are there any kids that aren't that? Hey, look, I've said that, okay.
First off, the T-ball team that he played today, first off, they are not 4 and 5 years old. Those kids got to be 7. And I got to admit, Ben absolutely rocked them.
He should.
I'll be honest with you, I'm a little pissed off. They had a 7-year-old out there. That kid's got to be 7. I'm sorry. She towered. It was a girl. She's like 7'2". Like, calm down, Brittany Griner. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, girl's going to be dunking by next week.
Did she, like, kick the shit out of Ben's team?
She hit the ball to shortstop. Ball was thrown the first. Ben's got a little scoop action in it. They called him tough acting Tanakin with all the scooping that he's doing over there with the balls at his feet. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Your nephew's doing pretty good. All right. You're not here to listen about T-ball. You're here to talk about college football. We do that. Oh. By the way, we're coming out of the break with some NFL nuggets. Stay tuned.
Oh, what do we got?
I'm hearing things. And the last time, I will caution everybody. The last time I came on the show and did that, Adam Schefter reported it the next week. So, I'm about to light the world on fire. Stay with us.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events, with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
Joe, the NFL draft is tomorrow. By the way, you still have not invited me on your show, which I'm really starting to take.
We keep getting distracted in pre-show, and I keep forgetting to ask when you're coming on. We'll discuss afterwards.
Okay. Well, I could be there the entire time. I'm just saying you're really hurting my feelings here. I mean, I've done a lot for you, and you don't even have the decency to invite me to your draft.
You understand that it is obviously an open invitation. I also told you you would come on after not Jane Daniels' pick, but the Malik Nabers' pick. I told you were allowed to come on. You're not allowed to talk about Jane Daniels on that stream.
Oh, bud. Well, you know, speaking of Jane Daniels.
You got it?
Welcome to number 2, Jaden Daniels. Joe, I told you this last night. I will continue to tell you this. I think that they tested him. He passed the test. They were playing games. You can be mad at him. You can hate him for it. I think Jaden Daniels is still going to number 2. I think they wanted to see him if he was going to stand on business when they put him in an awkward situation, in a tough business situation, and I think he prevailed. The owner for the Washington Commanders only met with one player in this draft, and that was Jaden Daniels. I would be very shocked. I would be utterly shocked if they do not take Jaden Daniels. But here's the thing. The team that picks number 1, I think is going to shock everybody, but not with the first pick. They also have the 9th pick. Joe, I have been told that don't be surprised if the Chicago Bears, if one of the tackles goes off the board and they get skittish. Do not be shocked if they move up past or to New York to go get a tackle. I think that they are fearful that that Tennessee will take Joe Alt, and I think that they are also fearful that the Falcons will take a tackle now that Kirk Cousins is in Atlanta. So I will tell you, do not be surprised at how aggressive that the Chicago Bears will be. Here's what I will tell you. I don't think Brock Bowers makes it out of the top 12.
I agree with that. And then the tackle thing that you brought up, there has been a good amount of steam that's been discussed for them to take a tackle at that 9 spot. And then as you're bringing up, I could totally see them feeling rushed and wanting to, and they have the capital to do so. They're in a strong position of power here where they have that 9th pick. They are already investing in the future. They can slide up. I think one of the things that I saw today was that, and people forget this, Olufashanu, the Penn State tackle, was teammates with Caleb Williams in high school in DC.
Correct.
So there is a capability for them to be reunited, and I'm sure Caleb Williams is advocating to play with his former teammate.
I think that they feel that they have the weapons for him. Now they want to go and protect him. Here is the interesting thing. I heard from somebody in Atlanta today, okay? Dallas Turner is a very interesting pick. Do they want to protect Kirk Cousins, or do they want to go after a pass rusher? I do feel that they believe that they are a pass rusher away from winning the division now. So I do think that Dallas Turner is going to be there. Joe, I would not be shocked. Here's what I was told, though. They do not like him necessarily on some of the meetings that they've had with him. So if there is a player, listen to me and listen to me now, that people think could go in the top 15 that would fall because of personality. I've been told by multiple people it will be Dallas Turner from Alabama. And you can hate me on it, but I have heard that from multiple people.
Dallas Turner, I don't know if you're still there. No, you froze for a quick second. Dallas Turner for the Falcons has actually been a very common... Oh, I can see you blinking. He's been a very commonly mocked guy to the Falcons for a reason. It was one of the worst kept secrets at the combine. It was something that was talked about a ton. What you're bringing up doesn't surprise me because there's plenty of time for them to fall out of love since the combine. He is somebody, if you remove the personality for a quick second, hasn't really developed on the field. He didn't really come together. He didn't really put together the immense talent that he has. He was a more highly recruited kid than Will Anderson was. Will Anderson panned out a lot quicker than him. So if there's a personality rub off that doesn't really mesh, it wouldn't shock me if it's because it doesn't seem like he puts a lot of effort in and he doesn't take the time to learn the position, learn the nuances of the position, because it shows up on film. He just tries to run past everybody. That shit doesn't work in the NFL.
I agree. Two more. If Joe Alt does not get selected at 5 to the Chargers, I would be shocked. I do think that there are teams, Joe, I hinted this at you last night, I do think that there are teams that are going up for him. But I think that Harbaugh, when it gets down to it, is probably going to go tackle. Last thing, you know that I have a connection with an NFL coach to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
The Detroit – well, hold on, let me ask you this question. Where's the draft?
It's in Detroit.
Let me tell you one damn thing. Get your popcorn ready. Because here,
so you think they're gonna trade up?
Let me preface this by saying, if the right situation happens, without a shadow of the doubt, if they get past 13, and the Raiders select who they think that they're gonna select, they are going to go up, and Joe, I'm going to be real with you. I think that the Lions might be my NFC favorite going into next year.
I'm trying to think who they'd even take because they don't necessarily need a receiver.
They do not.
They probably need help on their defensive line. So you think that they'd move up to take Byron Murphy or Jerjon Newton is what you're implying. The Byron Murphy thing doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
it's not Byron Murphy, and it's not defensive tackle. Think boundary.
Oh, so they're going for Quinyon Mitchell, Nate Wiggins, Terrion Arnold, one of those guys. Okay. I can see it. See, corner has not been talked about a lot for them, it's important. And the reason why it has not is because they are not in a range to pick one of the top corners. So that's a good one. I like that one. They are the type of franchise, one, now that they're in a winning position, But they're the type of franchise to, because the draft's happening in Detroit, to try to put on a show. They're that type of a franchise. So that wouldn't surprise me.
I lied. Last one. Here's the last one of my notes when I talked to my buddy today.
Okay.
Kansas City needs a receiver.
Oh, this one I've been pumping. I think I know where you're going with this.
Where am I going?
They're going to trade up into the top 15 or top 10 to take a receiver, depending on who's still available.
Congratulations.
I know things too, man. I know things too. I'm not just...
Unless they can get in front of the Cardinals at 27 and trade with Tampa at 26, I think that Brian Thomas Jr., learn Kansas City barbecue, buddy, because that's where you're going.
It'd be a good fit. That would be an obnoxious fit.
Obnoxious.
Like a really annoying fit to know that he's catching balls from Patrick Mahomes.
First off, pause. Second off, correct. I think Brian Thomas is going to fall past 20, and this is what I was told about Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid in the 2020 draft, when they took Clyde at 32, okay, they wanted to move up to 21 with the Eagles because Doug Peterson and Mustache.
Howie Roseman?
And Andy Reid
are
close, okay? They took Jalen Reagor, all right? I know for a fact that someone's agent got a phone call that Kansas City was going up to take Justin Jefferson, and they passed on it because they needed a running back. There's a story that you didn't want to know, or you might not know. How about that? You don't come here for the NFL draft. You come here for college football, which I guess is kind of hand in hand in a lot of different ways there, Joseph. But nevertheless, I mean, here we are. But you know what the biggest news in college football was today, though?
Our boy Reggie Bush.
Okay.
Get his trophy back.
Yes. So Reggie Bush got his trophy back today. The 2005 Heisman Trophy winner arguably was a part of the best college football game of all time when they faced Texas in the Rose Bowl for the national championship. Joe, let me start off with this. I told you this in the open. I'm very happy for Reggie. You know, when Reggie came to New Orleans, people clowned Sean Payton for taking a running back like Reggie Bush that high. I think in his rookie year, he had 80-plus catches, had like 900 rushing yards. It was insane how good he was. And everybody's like, oh, Reggie isn't that good. I'm like, he had 80 catches as a rookie, and he's a running back. Like, what are you talking about? Reggie Bush, in my lifetime, in my opinion, is the best overall running back that I've ever seen, ever. And I don't think that there's someone that's been remotely close to him. But Joe, even though I'm happy for him, and because he was the best player in his time, I just want to make it well known that they still cheated. And Joe, even though NIL is a thing, there are things that he was popped with. And I understand where you're going to go, well, the Heisman has nothing to do with that. And you know what? You're right. The Heisman doesn't have anything to do with that. But if this were today and some a recruit or a player's parent was bought a house, Joey would still be an NCAA violation. Yeah. So all I am saying is...
Well, they still do it. I know teams that have bought kids' houses. Like, I know.
Well, I mean, Zion Williamson, when his agent or ex-agent took him to court, they found out that Duke did it and nothing came of it. All I'm saying is, let's not act as – I get what you're saying, and I get what everybody's saying. I actually do love it for Reggie. I just want to throw it out there like, hey, man, okay, like, let's not act as if that they didn't get caught.
One of the reasons why I love doing this show is that even when we don't intend to, we still find ways to have hot takes, which is why I love doing this show. Like, it's not – as I said earlier, it is not the responsibility of the Heisman Trophy to be the moral compass of certain infractions. What he did, yes, was considered illegal by the NCAA. They awarded him the award. They should not have taken it away. This is a perfect correlation to how the MLB Hall of Fame thinks that they are some morally righteous entity. I don't think that it is. But
Pete
I think
Rose
even further
against his own team, Joe.
I'm not talking about Pete Rose, though. I think that this even furthers my point that they're keeping out individuals who use performance-enhancing drugs. Reggie Bush's performance on the field was not improved because his mom was bought a house. It was not. It was a byproduct of his performance and a reward that was given to him that should not have been given to him based on the rules.
Joe, do
you
know
what this is? He did not get better because his mom had a house. No, that was the end of my point.
Do you know what the second sentence in the Heisman Trophy statement is?
Well, you read it earlier, but you can read it again if you want.
I mean, I'm just going to paraphrase. It talks about character. Okay, it talks about honesty and character. So I'm not going to completely get onto them when someone gets popped. Now, you have a compelling argument when you said earlier about OJ. Like they didn't take it from OJ. What was up with that? But OJ was still acquitted. Okay, like let's not. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. I understand. You are right. Yes, it's not like he was found. He didn't go. He didn't serve jail time for that.
Well, he did, but he didn't get prison time. He wasn't found guilty. I mean, he was in jail the whole time.
Sorry.
Yeah. But my point is, as an example, if the second sentence in your bylaw is going to be talking about character, talking about how you conduct yourself on and off the field. I mean, Joe, it's a stats award. That's why quarterbacks continue to win it. It is a stats reward or award, excuse me. I just don't want, this is happening and will continue to happen. I mean, and in today's college football, Joe, I told you this, Jayden Daniels had an NIL deal when he won the Heisman this year where he wore a restaurant, Walk-Ons, which is local around here. He literally had an NIL deal during the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I commend guys like Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, Danny Werfel, Barry Sanders for doing what is the right thing. This is the right thing to do. But what does get lost so many times, I think I'm using this as a bigger premise. This is what we do in college football, okay? We say, hey, the guy deserves the award. You're right, he does. But what we do is we don't say, hey, man, he served his time. He served his penance. It's time to give him the award. Okay. Like the crime that the punishment that he received didn't fit the crime, right? Like it just remotely didn't even come close.
But that's my point. That's the whole biggest. Sorry, let's finish this one. But that's my point.
But I'm fine with it. And that's where I was going to. I'm fine that he's got it. I'm okay with it. I just think that we in today's college football, we're so gung-ho to go to. Oh, well, what about NIL? What about the portal? Okay, well, you're trying to fix it. You're actively trying to fix it. What people do, and Joe, we talk about this, me and you, all the time. Not even just on the show. Me and you talk about it all the live long damn day when we're doing pre-show stuff. When we talk about fixing NIL, you cannot tell me that you want NIL and things and guidelines and things to be fixed and then say, well, hey, here's a guy who broke the rules, which is allowed today. So give him back. Maybe the way that I'm saying it is a wrong way to frame it, but I'm just saying, like, I feel sometimes we are hypocritical on how we look at things down the road in college athletics. It's all I'm really trying to get at.
I understand. Yes, he broke rules. The reason why I'm pushing back on the argument of bringing it up is that the punishment for what he did, as you said, was nowhere near
not even
comparable
close
to what he actually did. To completely take the award from him for taking an impermissible benefit was a complete overreaction. It's just like now in most states, if weed isn't legalized, it's at least decriminalized, that if you're caught with it, it's usually the equivalent of a speeding ticket or something along those lines. It's usually a fine. You're not going to jail anymore. The overreaction used to be, if you're caught with weed on you, you're going to jail for a period of time. We need to, and as you're talking about here, we need to acknowledge, and I think that the Heisman Trophy did a good job of acknowledging it, that they overreacted and they adjusted. I don't think we're ever going to encounter something like this again because it's a completely different world now that we live in. So this will never be a precedent for something. Of course, I'll probably jinx myself into it becoming a precedent for something.
Yes, you will. But
It was an overreaction at the end of the day. It was an overreaction at the end of the day, and he deserves to get the award back, and he got it back, and we should be more than happy for him.
I am. And look, you could tell that he wanted it. And again, it to your point, here's the biggest thing. It doesn't take away what he did off the field or on the field. It doesn't take away from that. And you're 1,000% right when you talk about it not taking anything away from him. I just want to make it, like I said, known that this wouldn't fly in today's world either, right? Like, even though today's world is crazy, Joe, if we found out tomorrow, I'm just going to use a random school. I'll use mine so people don't get pissed off. If it were to come out tomorrow in the news that LSU paid for a player to have his mom to have a house, what would happen?
There'd be an uproar.
It would be an uproar. So I'm just saying, let's be a little bit more consistent in reference to how we do things. That again, I can't say it any more bluntly than the way that I'm saying it. And to the people who will say, because Joe, this is coming in the comments when you when we clip this. Well, Blake, what about everybody else that got paid? Well, they didn't get caught. I can't help that other people didn't get caught. I cannot help any of that. But I'm just saying, let's be a little bit more consistent. Okay. Joe, you want to get over to the Auburn Tigers here for just a minute?
Yeah, let's do it.
Joe, it's not a snowstorm. It's a full-out freeze in Auburn, Alabama. Oh, what a way to enter this segment here.
How long were you sitting on that one today?
Oh, for months. Because, do you remember 3 months ago when I said I wanted to talk more Auburn?
Was it because of that?
It was because of this. It is not a snowstorm. It's a full-out freeze in Auburn, Alabama.
Did you steal that from someone? Came up with that on your...
Probably.
Oh, that was disappointing.
You don't think I have bars?
No, I was hoping that you did, but now you're telling me you stole it from someone, so I don't think it's as cool.
Farmer deny, I don't remember where I saw it, but I'm sure that I think that, you know, if I had to guess, I do.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I think I stole it from Jake Crane, our buddy Jake Crane over at Crane Company. But nevertheless, here it is. Joe, they're doing really well in the transfer portal. Three players within the last week, two at the defensive tackle, one at receiver. Joe, they're making so many good moves at Auburn. My thing here would be, do they have the quarterback to lead them with the talent that he will have around him? Now, Peyton Thorne, to me, Joe, does not need to be a superhero for them to win. You know what he needs to be? Complimentary. And I think that they will win 9 football games. I think that the Auburn Tigers is the team to watch out for in the SEC with all the moves that they're making. Isaiah Rakes, Phillip Liddy, and I don't know why his name just slipped my mind, but the wide receiver from Penn State who is? Keandre Lambert-Smith. So I think it's three massive moves here from them. They're adding depth. They're adding starters. They're adding talent. By the way, they had a really good high school recruiting class. They're doing really well at Auburn.
I think that the way that they have approached the transfer portal is a really good way for them to be set up for success. And I think that Peyton Thorne is hit or miss on his performance and what he could do. He could be a Graham Mertz type guy that comes in and plays just a little bit above average enough for them to steal a couple of wins that they're not supposed to We know that Hugh Freeze is brilliant enough of an offensive mind that he's going to find ways for them to produce. I like that Keandre Lambert-Smith comes in here. He is not a primary receiver. He is somebody that is going to be a great secondary or tertiary guy, but was asked to be the primary guy at Penn State, and it was too much for him. He's just not that type of a player. He's a deep threat. He's explosive. He's going to fit in nicely with this room. And we stirred some shit when we talked about Jeremiah Smith. I really think that Cam Coleman is going to be one of a couple freshman receivers that are going to have unbelievable seasons. Blake, calm down for a second. Your reaction last time ended up turning our last clip viral. So I'm just, you know, just be prepared for this. Cam Coleman is an incredibly gifted athlete. And I keep hearing positive and positive things leading into next season. All I'm saying, if that kid ends up being Auburn's number one receiver and the highest producing player on Auburn's offense, do not be shocked.
I don't think that Jeremiah, see, this is what happened in the clip that went on TikTok and got like 75,000 views and Ohio State fans.
No. 300,000 views. And all of them were calling you a moron.
300,000 views and people calling me moron. It was taken out of context and me saying, hey, don't rely on a fresh. I mean, Joe, they have a lot of really good receivers at Ohio State.
Yeah.
It's a different beast, though, at Auburn. He can't come in and start right now because they don't have the dudes. They don't have the talent. Now,
bingo.
I, again, will just remind people, be cautious when you're relying on a freshman to come in and start and be the impact guy. Joe, there's a lot to be said about a guy on 3rd and 7, when Peyton Thorne is throwing him the football, which they do not have the chemistry as other teams or other players would, that you're expecting a true freshman to be there. Now, Lambert Smith, I do think is a different situation and a different scenario. He will have the more, and you know how much more I lean on experience than talent. Joe, we see it every year. Who are the last three national title winners?
The three teams. Michigan, Georgia.
And Michigan, Alabama. Georgia, and Georgia. And you know what's happened since 2019. The most experienced teams in college football has won.
Yeah, but we're not expecting Auburn to win a national title. We're just talking about Auburn as being an up-and-coming, improving team.
Correct.
That goes 8-4. That's an awesome season for them.
9-3. Joe, they're adding two pieces in the interior of the defensive line that can play in this conference. Phillip Liddy and Isaiah Rakes can. Well, we know Isaiah Rakes can. Joe, they can play. They are up. See, here's the thing, Joe. How much more are they upgrading? Right, like so, they are upgrading at positions where we know that they were so bad in last year. So let me ask you this question, and I know that transitive properties, I say don't use them all the time. I'm going to make an exception. Joe, how close were they to knocking off Georgia? How close were they to knocking off Alabama just based off of pure coaching? Right? They didn't have the talent of those two teams. Now they are getting closer. So when they play Alabama, when they play Georgia, can they knock one of those teams off? You're damn right that they can. I mean, Joe, you're talking about two playoff teams that should have been in the playoff with Georgia too that they could have knocked off. I think they're going to beat one of them. And I really do think it's going to be Alabama, if I'm being honest with you, because I don't think anybody in the country is beating Georgia. So I look at them and say they are upgrading at so many positions. The question that I continue to circle around on is Peyton Thorne the dude, and I don't have enough faith that he will be.
Which is why I have said that they should go after Jane Rashada, but doesn't sound like that they're going to be able to get
it
him.
Doesn't.
There's no other options. I'm surprised that you end up being the one who's more bullish on Auburn than I am, because if you remember after the hiring, I was in absolute love with it. But I like that you bring up.
Well, hold on one second. In fairness, Saban had not retired yet, and I didn't know that he was retiring.
Sure.
So
true.
Okay.
It was forever ago. What I was getting at, though, is the way that they definitely played against Alabama and Georgia, I think, is indicative of good coaching. However, losing to New Mexico State is also indicative of coaching. So, like, we need to see the version of Auburn that puts the shit performances behind them and completely gets all of that out of their system. I guess it's better to get that out of your system in year one than it is for year two when you're trying to make an improvement, but they can't do that in 2024. I would hope that the roster's better enough that they don't.
Oh, it's going to be much better.
Yeah.
Here's the two things that I worry about with Auburn, and it's simple. Why did your defensive coaching staff leave? I think that there are more things behind the scenes that people aren't talking about on the surface, and because Hugh Freeze would be attached to it, it would mm-hmm. make it even worse. I number one question the culture, but number two, I don't think Peyton Thorne can lead them to a playoff. I think they're a quarterback away, everybody's a quarterback away.
They are not in the stratosphere of going to the playoff, though.
I do think that they have talented pieces that if they had serviceable quarterback play, they would have won 9 games last year.
No. I don't think they would have. What is serviceable? Like what would be a serviceable replacement?
Someone that can complete 55% of his passes.
I don't know if that's enough of a transition to help them have won 9 games. For them
you really not believe that if they had better quarterback play, that they wouldn't have beaten Georgia, Alabama, and potentially LSU?
No. They would have beaten Alabama if it wasn't for something that they couldn't have controlled.
They weren't beating Georgia.
Georgia's defense made most quarterbacks look mortal when they played them. Look, to say, though, that they could be in a playoff potential means that they're going to finish in the top 4 or 5 teams in the SEC. I think that's too aggressive for me. I think that there are 6 or 7 more talented rosters overall than the Auburn one right now. I like Auburn. I think Auburn's gonna be a really tough team next year.
Would put them at around 6 or 7 because you gotta think Texas, Oklahoma coming into the conference. I mean, Joe, you had 4 teams that won 10 plus games. You might have 6. 9 wins might put you at 7, 6, 7, 8.
They would need everything to go perfectly for them to go get 9 wins.
Okay. Well, you said they're going to go 8-4. What's the difference of me saying they're going to be
8-4? Is me 8-4 is me being aggressive? Like 8-4 is me saying that they beat Bama and like things go really, really well. It's probably more realistic that they go 7-5 because it's still year 2 and there's still some holes on the
roster. They're better. They are overall a better team. I am sinking. They are overall a better team than last year, and you're only saying that they're going to get one more win?
I think that the SEC that they're playing in this upcoming year is a different. And it sounds like I'm criticizing them. I'm not. This is a multi-year process.
You hate Auburn.
I don't. I'm one of their biggest supporters.
You love Kalen DeBoer. You're a
No.
If that hat wouldn't fade, it'd be crimson red.
I am consistently one of Auburn's biggest supporters. I like Auburn. I love Bo Jackson. He's one of my favorite just athletes in general. I'm a big Auburn fan. Supporter.
Pants on fire.
No, but we got to be realistic here. We're assuming that they're going to do better than Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Missouri, Old Miss, or they would
Let me rephrase.
They would be in contention with those types of teams.
I think that they can be. Contention and winning are two completely different things. Joe, they can get to 9 wins.
That's not going to happen.
Okay. All right.
That's not going to happen.
Shit. Dane Bergeron with a $5 super chat. What's up, Dane? Says, why has the NCAA not investigated Alabama and how Tua's family relocated from Hawaii?
You have anything to say about this? I don't.
Here's what I think happens. Okay, Dane, I love you, but here it goes. Y'all got to stop. You got to stop in reference to I get what you're saying, but what about Alabama? Well, what about LSU? What about Notre Dame? What about everybody? USC wasn't the only teams doing it. but they did not get caught. And there wasn't an investigation. And I can't, like I said in the beginning, Joe, I can't help that. I cannot help that there was not an investigation on other people and other teams. I can't. But what I can do is say, hey, there was an investigation that happened. They got caught. What do you want me to do? I mean, what else am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I don't know what to contribute to this because I it's almost one of those instances, but there's probably too many things to keep track of.
Oh, probably. I don't think there's anything wrong with them, you know. I mean, I'm sure he got paid. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa probably got paid. I'm not saying he didn't, but I mean, what do you want me to do? Anyway. All right. Let's take a quick break, Joe. You want to get to, after the break, Greg Sankey's comments about the Super League?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Talk about our good friends over at Home Field Apparel. Stay with us.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Home Field Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan. Maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan, whatever it is, even Idaho. They have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoJoe, RuffinoJoe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
Do you really think Michael Penix is going in the first round?
No. His medicals are way more messed up than people think. What were you gonna say? Go ahead.
Why is everybody saying now in this late hour that he's going to?
Well, we talked about this yesterday. If you can last minute manipulate people's feelings and create a market for something, kind of like something we're about to talk about in a little bit. If you can manipulate people's feelings and create a market for something, then they're going to sell out to make it happen. So if you're a team like the Giants, you're probably not going to get somebody to trade up into that spot. But if you're saying that you're going to take
really
Michael
on a 4-4.
No, he ran a 4.56. No, yeah, 4.56, which is still a great time. That's a great, great time.
I call bullshit.
Apparently his medicals were fine, but I call BS on multiple knee injuries, multiple shoulder injuries of him being able to stay healthy. I mean, shit, he couldn't make it. He got hit a ton in the national championship game. He was limping the whole game. He couldn't move. We had a real fight about it. He couldn't move. He is very fragile. People talk about Jaden Daniels' frame being thin. He's a thin framed kid.
Jaden's got the frame to put on weight. The question is how quickly can they? I think Jaden can be 220 and still be as explosive, but look, we'll see.
Well, if he runs allegedly a 4.3, if he puts on 20 pounds, a 4.5.
It's not 20 pounds. I think he's 205, 210 right now. I actually think he's 210 right now.
Well, but if he puts on 15, it's not going to slow him down so much that it's no longer an asset.
Very true. All right. So I'm assuming that this is going to be a big debate between you and I, because Greg Sankey came out via Ross Dellinger, who asked him about Super Leagues in college football. And basically we read it in the first part of the show. You can go back and listen to the full statement. We're not going to read it again. But, Joe, in paraphrasing, Greg Sankey stated, well, other people can talk about Super Leagues. I'm more focused on other things that we need to fix and we need to get done. Your thoughts on Greg Sankey, at least in public, denying Super Leagues?
I don't think this tells me that it doesn't mean that the SEC wouldn't eventually end up working towards a Super League or be creating one or participating in one. I don't think it means any of that. I think that we're smart enough to know, especially because they joined a joint committee with the Big Ten to figure out the future of college football.
Remember you saying this.
Okay. We're smart enough to know that he's having these conversations. The way that he is dismissing it and the way that he's phrasing it, he's trying to make it seem like he's never talked about it with anybody before. That's the way that he approached this. He made it seem like it was such an idiotic concept that why would he ever even consider it? I'm just saying, if he's going to be that aggressive in his response, usually means that there's a little bit more to this. You don't deny something so aggressively. It's just like, you know, you asked me earlier if I'm implying that he's lying. What's one of the number one ways that you tell somebody's lying?
How?
They overreact to the questions the accusation that's asked. He's not getting accused of anything here. He's not getting accused of anything, but this seems like a little bit of an aggressive reaction to the question.
How did he say it?
We don't know, but wait.
Okay.
Wait. The exact phrasing, the fact people have interest in throwing ideas out, that's up to them. That is talking down to people that are discussing this concept.
Yeah, you know why? Because I think a lot of shit gets thrown out there that it has no realistic bearing. You know what I think happened? I'm going to go back to your point. I think the SEC and Big Ten did join up to do one thing, but you want to know what it is? I think it's they were going to tell everybody else that they were going to walk away if they did a Super League or if they did the playoffs the way that they intended and automatic qualifiers and all these different things. I really do believe the Big Ten and the SEC were about to walk away, and I do believe they were about to walk away from the NCAA. I think if Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti didn't get the revenue share that they wanted, I think that they would have walked. I fully believe that because both of them are saying the same exact things. Let me tell you what's going to happen tomorrow or next week. Ross Dellinger is going to have a story with Tony Petitti, and they're going to say the same. And he's going to say the same exact thing that Greg Sankey just said. Why? Because they don't want Super Leagues. Their conference is making too much money for them to give up any power, to give up any leniency that they have. I think that they're joined at the hip because Petitti can work on TV where Greg can work on power moves behind the scenes. The two of them together is a lethal combination, and they know it. I also think that Dellinger, who, by the way, let's just call it what it is, when Sankey wants something out there, he runs to Dellinger. The bottom line truth is Greg Sankey does not do interviews with anybody other than Ross Dellinger. That is well known to anybody that will listen and to anybody that is in the business, such as we are. He talks to Deli.
Wait. So Ross is at spring college football playoff meetings right now. So this is not like I don't think that this was necessarily a one-to-one conversation.
If you don't think that this is a one-on-one conversation, then you're crazy.
No.
Joe, okay, how else are conversations had?
Okay. To clarify, I produce Ross's podcast, who is the Yahoo Sports podcast. Okay. I haven't outwardly said that on the show. It's something recent. I know for a fact that he is at Dallas, Texas for the college football playoff spring meetings.
And every time that Greg Sankey wants something out in the public, who does he go through?
I think that this was a scrum. It typically goes through him. But I think this was a scrum statement that somebody asked him the question and that he was responding to it.
You really believe that wasn't pre-orchestrated? If Sankey doesn't want something out there, he does not say it. That is how, Joe, we have covered this guy for 10 years. If Sankey doesn't want something out there, he does not release it. I promise you, when Texas and Texas A&M were coming, or Texas and Oklahoma were coming into the league, he leaked it at SEC Media Days. Guess who he leaked it to?
Okay, but it's a completely different circuit.
Who did he leak it to?
Who, Blake? Who? Who?
With the first pick in the journalistic draft, Greg Sankey selects Ross Dellinger.
Okay.
That was a pretty cool. You got to give me that. That was a pretty cool. Dun, 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 dun,
sure.
Dun,
dun. Sure. I think you're overanalyzing this.
I'm overanalyzing it. You're saying that he's flat out lying.
Yes, because this is typical political BS of just saying, oh, I haven't. He said, and I quote, I haven't talked about the Super League and I'm not going to do it today.
I got heartburn.
There's nothing to analyze. It's pretty clear that he's just
Yes, it is. So 2 weeks ago on this show, you and I debated on how stupid Super Leagues were. And I told you, Greg Sankey would never go for it. Today, he's denying that he wants Super Leagues.
I just don't agree with that. I don't think you want it.
Let me tell you what you're doing.
I do want it, but at the same time, I'm not. Okay. I don't want to be naive in thinking that it's not at least
you want Super League. So you're reading that he is saying, "Oh, this isn't a flat out lie," because you want it.
This isn't some sort of psychological game here. You know, this is just
you're literally saying, hold on.
I'm not.
You literally said that he is playing a psychological game by lying, only for you to come right back around to say that he's using a psychological game in denying it.
But I'm saying that you're trying to psychoanalyze my actions that I'm trying to read into something that's not there.
No, you know what happens? I've debated your ass for over 175 to 200 to 300 hours on this show. Uh-huh. I know the way that you think. You want it to be true because you want fucking chaos. That is what you want.
Yeah,
You're the ultimate chaos machine.
This is the most chaotic response that he could have had. Is it not?
What should he have said?
No comment. No comment. I have no comment.
That would have made it worse. Can I tell you how?
Wait. How about this? If he had just said, that's not something we're pursuing right now. Succinct, to the point. That's basically what he said. No, it's not. He was so much more aggressive in his response. He shit
because
all,
he doesn't want it. Why do
shit
people
all
come
over
out
the
that
concept?
Aggressive? The reason Greg Sankey comes out that aggressive because he thinks it's dog shit. You know what Greg Sankey thinks about Super Leagues? You ever seen the movie Billy Madison where they take a dog's dump and they put it in a paper bag and they light it on fire and they ring a doorbell? By the way, have you ever done that?
No, I have not. Have you? Probably, yeah.
As our good friend Sean Anderson would say, I have to stand on my laurels.
When did he say that? Or did he?
Asked him if he wanted to be on top or bottom.
I didn't ask him that. A listener asked him that.
What else am I going to do? Oh, my God. That was so funny. Look, in closing on this, I really do believe that he does not want Super Leagues. I think there's a lot of teams, Joe, that don't want Super Leagues. I don't think fans want it. I really, really, really don't. I don't think there's nothing that a Super League does that makes me wake up out of bed saying, yippee, Super Leagues are stupid.
Wait, it's not the whole point of any of this is just having continuity and consistency. Forget the whole word Super League. If I told you, next season, everyone is going to play under the same rules. There is not going to be unlimited transfers, and the NIL stuff is consistent and simple and not overcomplicated and not creating a mess. Would you not shake your head and say, yes, that sounds great. We're going to have normal college football without getting distracted.
But I live in the real world. And in the real world, that's dog shit.
I hate this thought that you have that there's no way to fix things. You're framing it like that because we're in the real world that there's no way to fix this.
Can I get a little legal on you?
Go ahead.
Do you know now with the transfer portal ruling that happened in West Virginia, do you know what would have to happen for it to be overturned?
What?
They would have to go to the Supreme Court. By the way, not being political, but there was a ruling, Roe v. Wade, that just got overturned Joe, that was a 60-year ruling. So
wait. The reason why the transfer portal thing happened the way that it did was because players weren't able to collectively bargain for that to be something that we agreed.
And that is irrelevant to me at the current moment.
So if there's a collective bargaining agreement,
Joe, you're missing a massive legal point here. If they did a collective bargaining agreement, let me tell you, if they did a collective bargaining agreement, hypothetically, and a college student said, well, another college student can go anywhere in the country that they want and transfer. Hold on. No, even during. Do you realize that if they used in court the West Virginia case, not only would the collective bargaining agreement be tarnished, but they would have to be completely rewritten? That is why every single move, and this is what Greg Sankey's talking about, they would have to literally go through a collective bargaining agreement and change rulings. Again, I don't think people, in the legality standpoint of it, I don't think people fully grasp or understand now what has to happen. Joe, the Supreme Court now, which, you know what? I'm thinking about this and I'm talking about it. Maybe we are at an ending point. Because if this does go to a Supreme Court, then maybe we can get finality on it.
Okay. I think that the problem is here, though, Blake, is that I'm on the overly optimistic side and you're on the other extreme, which is the overly pessimistic side. I don't disagree with you that there is an overassumption on how simple it would be for some of these things to change. It is going to take a lot of steps. But I think that there is a middle ground here of it being more realistically actionable than you're making it seem. That's all I've been trying to say.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Why do we need a Super League to that? Why can't the Power Four conferences come to an agreement and the conferences, hear me out, why can't the conferences come to an agreement and you have the conferences still in this, but hold on. But everybody agrees to it. What a Super League is doing, though, Joe, is putting Class A, Class B, Class C, tier this, tier that, tier this, tier that. That's not what they want. Let me tell you what I know for a fact. What they want is for all four Power Four conferences to come to the same agreement and for the schools to come to the same agreement. Nobody in their right mind wants this to happen. They don't want, and here's another truth. I'm going to leave that alone because I'll burn somebody. I will just say, it's not happening. It's just not happening. It will never happen. A Super League is not happening.
I think that the future of college football surviving with four Power Four conferences is less likely to happen than.
Now, that I agree with, but in reference to there being an SEC Big Ten commissioner, Joe, these conferences aren't going away.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to be the case. I mean, what I really think is going to happen, and I foresee this
an NFC and an AFC, and they're going to come together.
So what I foresee is going to happen in 5 years. You and I are going to be screaming at each other over this once the not Super League, but the two divisions compete with one another for a national championship, and I'm going to yell into the microphone, Blake, this is a Super League, and you're going to yell into the microphone.
No, it's not. It's not the Super League that they're proposing. The Super League that they're proposing is an Eastern.
Yeah, wait, but I'm not. European, I'm not. That was just I don't think Greg Sankey was directly referencing that plan. That was just a plan that was put out there. That's not the only plan that's on the table. I mean, there's other entities that are trying to come up with
absolute
one.
Dog shit. Almost like Derek Dooley's Group of Five playoff being dog shit.
There are other entities that are trying to come up with different solutions. I implore you and others. There's a really good piece that Ross actually published talking about Jeffrey Kessler, who is a lawyer who is leading some of the cases against the NCAA. And I think that there are a lot of people moving behind the scenes that nobody even knows about. Kessler's a great example that the college football world has no idea who this guy is, that are going to really reshape the way that things look in a couple of years. And he, because he's taking it to court, he has.
And what is he taking into court on? Who is he fighting?
I'm blanking on the exact case. Let me look it up really quickly. I know that we're way over time.
I ain't got shit to do. I mean, the only thing I got to do is tuck in a 4-year-old, but I can give him 10 more minutes because I hear him in there playing baseball.
Let's see if we can find it. I have the article up. This is going to take me too long to read through this.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. All right. Oh, boy. Did you find it yet?
No, I thought you were going to end the show. Oh, okay.
Well, we can do that too. All right. We will see y'all again.
Oh. Sunday.
Well, if the people go over to the draft show, then they'll see us tomorrow. After 2 LSU.
Brian Thomas is taken.
Really? You're going to make me wait until 11 o'clock at night?
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
All the shit that me and you go through.
I'm joking.
All right. We'll see y'all all tomorrow or Sunday. Y'all have a good one. Peace.